Welcome to Next Steps, a podcast from Black Hawk Church. We believe that following Jesus is a lifelong journey. So no matter where you're at, there's always a next step to take. Each week on this podcast, we'll create space for real conversations about the questions we wrestle with, the challenges we face, and the hope we find in Jesus. Our goal isn't to have it all perfectly figured out, but to walk faithfully towards Jesus together. We're so glad you're joining us. Let's dive in. Well, hey, everybody. Great to be with you today. We are excited. Last week, we shared with you that we are going to have a special guest on the podcast today. So the special guest is in the room. But before I do that, Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great. You're making everyone wait to hear who the special guest is. But it's Halloween week right now as we record this. So looking forward to that with my kids. And last night was out golfing with Micah. It's the end of October. Oh. We still get to golf, which was awesome. Also still terrible. It's just just happens to be colder out while we're golfing. Funny story real quick. One of the guys in our congregation, older gentleman, dropped off a book about golfing on a Sunday morning for me, hoping it would help my golf game. Aww. So God bless him. But Wayne, if you're out there, I need a lot more.
You might need some lessons.
So anyway, loving the weather. It's a good time to be in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So.
This morning we had a little special treat. The school right down the road came over. The kids came up dressed in their costumes and got some candy from our staff this morning, which was such a fun bright spot of today.
Yeah, so pray for their teachers. We sugared them up at like 9 o'clock this morning. They got to make it through the rest of the day. I think they were having fire trucks over, and so they had a fun day today. So,
excellent.
Yeah,
very.
But so
fun.
Did we.
Very fun. Okay, well, the moment you've all been waiting for. So joining us today is my favorite person, one of my favorite people, Phoebe Turner. So hello, Phoebe.
Hello.
Great to have you here with us. So this is Phoebe's first podcast episode.
Yep.
So
maiden voyage.
Yeah, excellent. We're so glad you're here. Phoebe, she leads Black Hawk Bible Study this year. And so we are going to be able to talk more about that in a few minutes. Her and her family have been a part of Black Hawk for a while. She's going to tell us more about that. And I first met Phoebe. I know she's like, what are you going to say? I know. I think this was the story. So I was a part of Black Hawk Bible Study when I moved here. And I think I first kind of met you then. Mm-hmm. But I really got to know you downtown. So I used to be at one of the pastors at our downtown site. And so got to know her and her family and just came to really appreciate and love you. So I'm so glad that you're joining us.
The feeling is mutual.
It's so good. Good. Okay. Yeah. Well, Phoebe, share with us more about who you are.
Yeah. So Tiffany said, my name's Phoebe, and I have been coming to Black Hawk since 2003. My freshman year, I was a student at the University of Wisconsin. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, came to Madison to play a sport, played hockey for the Badgers. And Black Hawk was actually, I think, the first church that I just wandered into in college. Just God's kindness of knowing this would be a place I had no idea at the time that we would put roots down the way we have. But so my husband and I met my husband in college. He was a wrestler. His name's Tyler. And we were elementary ed majors in school. And at the same time, God used my sport in a really formative way in college to draw me to himself. And I ended up, Tyler, too. We got married in college, went on our honeymoon on spring break, which I do not recommend. No, it's expensive when we try to travel for our anniversary. But we both just kind of separately felt the pull to full-time ministry. And so we work for an organization called Athletes in Action. We work here in Madison with Badger athletes and other athletes for different schools in town and in the state. And we just get to kind of mentor and disciple college athletes, and we are really passionate about just what God has to say to people through sport. It feels like a microcosm for life, and so it's been really just a great experience to do that. And I've got three boys, And we have been, we used to go to downtown Blackhawk, and then my kids got bigger and they loved the kids ministry at Brader. So we've been at Brader, and we just, my family's not from here. Tyler's family's not from here. And so Blackhawk has really been our church home, like in our family, away from our family. Mm-hmm. So we've just been really grateful for that. So cool.
Phoebe, were you a Christ follower when you showed up at Madison?
I was. Okay. Yep. I grew up in, my family went to a Presbyterian church growing up in Pennsylvania. I had a great youth group that was like my jam, just growing in community with kids my age. And my parents used to host like camp counselors for a summer camp at our house. And so I just kind of grew up around people who love the Lord. And so I was a Christian when I came to college, for sure, but grew a lot, as we all do.
So fun.
I've heard stories from friends who did Athletes in Action stuff where there was like the summer camp where there's this huge physical challenge that just kind of breaks you down. I don't know, like, are you literally climbing a mountain? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. So actually it's called Ultimate Training Camp.
Yes.
My husband Tyler is on the executive team actually with that camp. So we help run that camp in the summer. Gotcha. And we like to talk about at that camp, just sort of unpacking for student athletes, just sort of biblical principles for sport, like asking the question, does God have anything to say to me as an athlete? Does it matter? Is my faith something that's compartmentalized? Can it, you know, can God speak into my experiences as an athlete? And so we spend a whole week kind of unpacking, talk about, you know, sport as worship. And maybe sometimes the ways that we idolize our sport or look to our sport to be something that can, that fills us. And of course we do that with, you know, family and our jobs and in all kinds of different ways. And so we build and build and build kind of this curriculum through the week. And then we have kids all week, they play volleyball against each other. It's kind of an equalizer sport. You know, everybody can play volleyball, not everybody's good at it. And then the end of this camp, they do like a 24-hour competition. And it's D1, D3 club athletes from all over the country. Everyone's a little competitive and we have really high standards for it. So the idea of it is just to like put them in an actual environment where like maybe for the first time they kind of get to the end of themselves physically and run out of their own self-sufficiency and maybe learn for the first time like, okay, God, I need you. And so it's just a great kind of starting place to just kind of deconstruct like the athlete experience. Wow. So super formative. I went as a as a student in college. It was just, really formative for me and super fun for us to get to have students that we walk with here like experience that and then come back just really, really changed and really wanting to be in community and to grow. So that was a long-winded answer, but yes, I am familiar.
That sounds amazing.
So
and I hope that in order for myself to be formed, I don't need to go through that. To come to the end of myself physically. Like, take me, Jesus. I'll learn easier. But, I've heard incredible things. So, thanks for just unpacking that and a little bit more about what you do.
Okay, so Phoebe, tell us a little bit more. This year, you lead Blackhawk Bible Study. And so would you tell us, for so many people, maybe we've heard that announcement on a Sunday, right? Hey, join Blackhawk Bible Study. Here's what we're studying. This year, you're studying the book of Colossians. Well, the semester. Right. So this is perfect for what we're doing here. But tell us more about what Blackhawk Bible Study is.
So formerly known as Encounter, if you've ever heard that title get thrown around, change the name to Blackhawk Bible Study. Hopefully it's a little self-explanatory, but what Blackhawk Bible Study is just a space to be in community to really dig deeper, drill down deeper into the Word of God than we normally get to do on a Sunday. You know, when you go to church on Sunday, you're sitting, you know, sitting in a row, listening to a talk, really. And if you're in a community group, that's a great space too, to be in community and talk about the message. But Blackhawk Bible Study is really specifically for walking together and unpacking and drilling down into God's word. And so we talk about at Blackhawk Bible Study that our kind of vision is to know Jesus, be transformed by the study of his word, and enjoy community together. So it really fits very well, actually, with what we've been chopping up with Colossians this fall, of just the idea of growing in knowledge towards maturity for transformation.
Yeah.
So cool. It's been, I've been a part of Black Hawk Bible Study, I think, since maybe 2015, 14. Like years with babies at home get a little blurry, but it's been a while. Yeah. It's been really, a really formative space for me.
And so the content-wise, the team chooses whether it's a book of the Bible for the whole year or for a semester.
Yeah, so it was fun to hear you guys in the podcast a couple weeks ago kind of pull back the curtain on the teaching team and how you guys do sermons. We do maybe a miniature version of that with Black Hawk Bible Study. The one thing I really love is that we're a volunteer-led ministry, which is really fun to get to step into a space. Like for me personally, I'm not on staff with Black Hawk, but just to get to use my gifts and teach and lead in that way has been really fun to collaborate with church with that. And so we kind of in a similar way try to prayerfully just think about like, okay, what have we studied before? What do we, you know, want? Where is this group going? And then when we land on a topic, which is usually lately we've been doing a book of the Bible, we'll meet up with Charles and kind of do a little bit of a, okay, what should we do with this? Where should we go? He kind of sets us on a good course for, you know, these are some good commentaries to read, ways to think about this. And then we have a kind of a teaching team of our own where we, so we collaborate and kind of write the Bible study together, which is challenging and fun to do. Again, I just love the idea that we get to do it together. It's not just like a, hey, I'm going to create this and we'll see how it goes. It's a group effort. And then we actually have the study that we write. And then every week we have kind of our own little teaching team of a group of us that give a little bit of a lecture like on the content, even more of a deep dive than what we study in the actual homework of the study. And so, we do our own brain dumps and just collaborate together with making sure we're theologically, you know, going in the right places and getting different voices involved. So it's definitely a very thought out thing, really. Yeah. Like it's not just, we don't just, sometimes in the past we've, you know, we've read a book or done a study of something that, you know, we didn't create, which is great. But for now, we write our own study. So
that's great. And I don't know if you said this, but what is the group studying right now?
Yeah. So we are in the book of Colossians and we started in September and we're going until mid-December. So we've got about 12 weeks of study. So it breaks down a little bit differently than the sermon series. And we do a method of Bible study called the inductive Bible study method. If maybe you're listening, you're involved with InterVarsity, you might be familiar with that. It's just kind of this idea of in life, when we learn things, sometimes we approach things deductively. So we kind of bring our own knowledge to the table and say like, oh, I think this is what this means based on what I know. And the idea of an inductive Bible study is what does the text right in front of me have to say to me? And so we dig in kind of to, we observe the text and then we go a little bit deeper and interpret it and then we apply it. And so at Black Hawk Bible Study, we do kind of a hybrid format of that where we observe it, dig deep together, and then we've written questions that are usually the questions that you would ask as you're digging into the study. So we're walking through Colossians. It's been great. It's been really fun to have, you know, hear about what we're learning about in our groups and then also to get something different on Sundays. And it's amazing. Like that's the word of God, right? Like you can read it 100 different times and get something different out of it every time. And so it's been challenging to hear it on Sunday and in our groups.
Good. And then next semester, so Colossians is just a one semester study. And so you've already started halfway through, but say somebody's, you know, listening and is thinking, oh, actually, this might be something I might want to try. What are you guys doing next semester?
So next semester, we are studying the Psalms, which will be very different than just a, you know, an epistle, a letter to an audience. And I've got to be honest, like Psalms are not my jam, not my favorite. Like some people just love the Psalms. And so I'm looking forward to just how God's going to teach me and speak to me in that. And we've already kind of met with Charles and talked about planning, what it's going to look like. And he was talking to us about how the Psalms aren't really written for theology. They're written for worship. So that is going to look a little bit different.
Yeah.
Inductively as we study it. You know, sometimes we just really, you know, dig and pull apart sentences and paragraphs and it's different when you're basically reading song lyrics.
Yeah. So, poetry.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And so it'll be really, I think, a great space for somebody who's new to Black Hawk Bible Study to jump in. I mean, of course, if you wanted to jump in the middle of Colossians in the fall right now, you could. Mm-hmm. But Psalms will start anew in January, late January. And I think it'll be a really challenging experience to be in community walking through that together.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And people who start, who are new, who never studied the Bible, like you don't have to be a Bible expert to join Bible study.
No. And I think
prior knowledge required.
No. And I think that is a point of intimidation for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
They think, you know, oh, a Bible study, I have to have a certain amount of knowledge to even come to the table.
I don't want to look dumb.
Yeah,
I don't know the answer.
Have questions that are stupid? Yeah. And this couldn't be further from that. That's one of the things that we always talk about that I love is that we're all coming from different places on our journey. Like God's been pursuing us all in different ways throughout our entire life journey. And whether you've been a Christian your entire life, whether you're a new believer, God's been working through you. His Holy Spirit has been moving in you. And so every week that I go, we have people in my group, multi-generational women who've been walking with the Lord for a long time, some new believers, and I learn from people who are new in the faith and vice versa. And there's I think a collective IQ when you're studying the word together that, you know, the Holy Spirit is teaching you, revealing things through his word. And as we share those things together and as we share our life experiences, I just think it's a really beautiful picture of the body of Christ, like building one another up. And so you do not need to have any expertise to come to Bible study. I would say, like, please, actually, I would welcome that. Because I think, too, when you're a little bit younger in your faith, I think the questions that you ask and the ways you approach God's word are just really good.
Yeah. Fresh and revealing in a way that you...
And
gift it is.
Totally. And to even, you know, like help someone that's newer in their faith understand and break down like big things of scripture into simple terms. Like it's a good exercise for everybody. So please come to Black Hawk Bible Study if you're new.
I'm glad you said that because maybe it's just my own experience, but I think like what you're talking about being in that community kind of atmosphere, digging into the word together, like that's the best possible place you could be as a new believer. Like that's my own story of just like, and yes, there's a lot of great tools online to be able to read the Bible for yourself, but to have people who've walked that road before you and to help you with all of that, man, my life is better having been in those kinds of spaces. And so that's great. I love that kind of stuff is happening.
Yeah, I agree.
Great. Well, this week, why don't we jump? I'd love to jump into a little bit talking about the passage that we talked about on Sunday. Matt preached, spent a lot of time on baptism, Colossians 2, 8 through 15. And there's some other stuff in there too that I thought, hey, it could be cool to just to take a few minutes to be able to dive deep into that. And so some of you are like, driving your car or mowing the grass. Are we still mowing our grass? I think we are.
I probably need to one more time.
One more time, right? So this is your last mow of the season. And so you don't have your Bible in front of you. So maybe we can read that and then have a conversation.
Sounds good. All right. So here's Colossians 2, verses 8 through 15. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. It's a good passage.
Such a powerful passage. Yeah. Such a powerful passage.
So what stands out to you? You guys, Phoebe, you want to do the honors?
Sure.
Anything that comes to your mind as we read that?
I what really stood out to me at the start was just the contrast that Paul uses between things that are hollow and deceptive and this contrast of like the fullness of God. So talking about, you know, don't be taken captive through hollow, deceptive philosophies. And in Blackhawk Bible study a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this imagery of God as Jesus being kind of a treasure. You know, in him is the fullness of wisdom and knowledge and understanding thinking about the idea of a treasure, like it's something that you want to pursue, you want to chase after, you want to get more of. And so there's that idea of God is a treasure, Jesus is a treasure. As we seek him more, as we come to understand him more, as we grow to be more like him, like we're transformed as we're hidden in him and coming to understand more about him through his word and through community, contrasted with this idea of like, hollow and deceptive things that we can chase after that we think are like adding to that fullness, but are actually like a fool's gold. So wondering and thinking about for myself, like, what are ways maybe that I am adding to Jesus? I think Matt talked about that language of like, anytime we try to add to Jesus, we're just subtracting. Yeah. And so just this idea that like, Jesus plus nothing. Actually, we don't need to add anything to it to earn our salvation or even to earn God's favor. I just think Paul, just makes that
experience. Experience the good life. Totally. Experience the fullness of God. Mm-hmm. Jesus plus nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's powerful. I love that illustration of treasure versus fool's gold. Mm-hmm. That is, that's good. What about you, Chris?
You're going to ask me. I'm going to. The thing that initially jumped out at me as I read it was this isn't the only place where Paul uses this language that we are dead. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Often when I share my story or my testimony, I'm like, well, before Jesus, like it was hard. There were bad things happened. I was experiencing depression and all that's true. And yet when Paul writes this kind of thing, like we were dead in our sins, and he's like, it's worse than that. It's worse than just like, well, things weren't great or I was depressed, but like there's literally nothing I could do or we could do to bring myself out of that situation. And it had to be an act of God that made us alive with Christ through his work on the cross. So again, I mean, it lends itself to that Jesus plus nothing thing. Mm-hmm. Like, anything without Jesus, like, is going to add up to zero. Like, it's just not going to work. It was only through the work of Christ that made us alive with him and pulled us out of these things that we found ourselves in and transferred us from this realm of sin and death into the one of being united with Jesus and into his kingdom. And so, and it's just a helpful reminder, a humbling reminder for me of like, it elevates who Jesus is, gives us a bigger picture of who he is, like we talked about a few weeks ago. And there was nothing that I could have possibly done to contribute to that work. Mm-hmm. I simply got to respond to what Christ had already done for me. So anyway, that's
so good.
Especially that last paragraph that one always gets me. And then of course the like, and he disarmed the powers and authority as a public spectacle. It just makes you want to like get up out of your seat and be like,
yeah, cheers,
right? Totally. It's pretty amazing, this picture of Jesus that Paul is painting. So how about you, Tiffany?
So great. No, I mean, you guys, both of those things, so good. I think for me, I really got caught up just at the beginning. Phoebe, kind of what you had talked about, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition. And, you know, I think sometimes I love to read. I love to listen to ideas. Like, I just am so curious, and I just love hearing people's perspectives and experiences and all that. And so, but I think I can find myself really kind of following people's logic and follow people's line of thinking and kind of get carried away on, like, something that feels like it's not against, like, scripture, but it's kind of taking me off on just a little bit of a tangent. And then I find myself down a road thinking about something in a different way than maybe scripture mm-hmm. talks about it. And so I think I've been challenged, and maybe I think I've talked about this before recently. I feel like I've been being challenged more and more lately just to setting my mind on things of Christ and just being mindful of, like, what I'm reading and what I'm taking in and the ideas that I'm listening to. I'm still going to be a curious person who loves all of that, but really not kind of getting caught up in some of those ideas and ways. Yeah.
When you are trying to be intentional about that, is that something that you try to think about, like, before you're reading things or listening things, or is it usually kind of reflective?
That would be better.
For sure.
Because often it may be, it's not an embarrassing thing, but sometimes I'll be reading a book and I'll get excited about, like, oh, I think that this is really great. I actually think, you know, oh, this actually is kind of in line with some of the formational stuff that I've been studying and, you know, things like that. And then somebody, normally like my husband or my friend or mm-hmm. something, will be like, actually, I kind of disagree with that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, tell me more, you know? And so they're like, well, what about this?
Is that what you say? Or are you like, how dare you?
Well, it's my husband. Rude. I'm like, what are you even like, stop. You know, you're wrong. But, you know, I try to be curious with him, but totally. And so I think it comes out. Or reading, sometimes I'll go to sources that I know that I don't necessarily agree with. Because there's, like, different ways, even from Christians, to, like, see things and, you know, different books that are coming out. What does this kind of camp think? What does this kind of camp think? And so I'm trying to, like, seek out the sources that I think are going to disagree with maybe what I think about a book or something. And then to really try to hear, like, hey, why, what evidence do they give of why this maybe isn't in line scripturally or anyway. And so just trying to be more disciplined in that, because I'm really curious. And so it can lead me down roads that I haven't thought about.
Yeah.
So
similar to that. I don't think curiosity is a bad thing.
No, I think it's really good.
But
I like
even
curious,
just what you're saying, it sounds like the importance to have just talking to other people about the things you're learning in community. And I think, just to get back to the text, like Paul, I think, emphasizes that too, like to this young, excited church in Colossae, like, you guys are excited, you want to grow, but you need each other to not be taken away captive by deceptive things that might seem good.
Because things that are deceptive, they're not always obviously like, against something. It's like, oh, you kind of find yourself just slowly kind of believing something that maybe you wouldn't have believed otherwise, or there's something alluring to it, and it maybe doesn't always look bad. Sometimes it looks really good. So
this is good. We were talking about last episode of, like, things that are forming us and things that sometimes form us in unhelpful ways, and books and podcasts and ideas and things like that can do that. But also, so can, like, where we live. Like, it matters that we live in Madison or Dane County. It matters the church community that we grew up in or that we're currently in. And so that's often a sobering kind of check for me, too, of, like, not just, like, what am I reading? Is it forming me? But, like, how much is living in this particular space and in this particular time framing how I approach scripture or believe certain things about the world or life or things like that? How Blackhawk is not immune to these things either. Yes. So are we susceptible, even as a community? Like, it's great that we learn in community, but we can get off track. We talked about this in the Revelation series and things like that too. So again, it comes back to this passage of, like, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And so that's a sobering reminder that all of those things are constantly at work. And so I often have to check, like, am I being formed in this way because of Jesus, or is it because of any one of these other factors? And I think it's actually a sign of maturity that at times we recognize those things and we course correct. Like, when's the last time you changed your mind about something? Like, I think that's actually that's a sign of health and maturity to be able to recognize those things. But it does. It even though communities are vulnerable, we need each other in that, though. We need people around us. We need Black Hawk Bible studies. We need all that kind of stuff to be able to do that and to help us center on Jesus. So, yeah that's I love what you guys are talking about with that.
That's good. I would even maybe just a quick add. I think about us, God kind of even continuing to create us into more and more of a multicultural community. I think that's one of the most just powerful things that I've experienced maybe as a multicultural community, even in the last year of when you don't know what your culture is until assumptions you have about God or about how church is done or about, you know, some theological thing until you're in a conversation with somebody from a different culture who sees things really differently. Mm. And it makes you really question some, like, oh, is this an American, a white American Midwest value? Mm-hmm. And it's actually, that's not, I'm reading that into the text. Mm-hmm. Is this a place where our culture can be sanctified? Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's one of the beauty of, even our churches, we're continuing to grow in this together. So,
That's a good word.
Good. All right, you guys. Well, I think we're running a bit out. I think we're kind of coming to the end, but I do have one last question for you if you guys are game. So one of the things that Matt talked about, obviously on Sunday, was a lot about baptism. We had the chance to experience watching a few of our fellow congregation members get baptized. And so I was wondering, do you guys remember when you were baptized? Oftentimes we talk about our salvation stories, like, oh, here's my faith story. But sometimes I don't always talk about my baptism. Mm-hmm. And so I'd be curious just to know a little bit about you guys.
Yeah. So actually, I've got the double dip.
Okay.
So my parents grew up in Italian, big Italian families, grew up in the Catholic Church. I've got a twin sister. And so we were baptized as infants in the Catholic Church. And then actually my parents ended up raising us in a Protestant church. We grew up Presbyterian. And so that was, a decision that my parents made for us as, parents. Yeah. And later on in my faith journey, this would have been after college, probably around 2012, maybe, made the decision just as an adult that was something that I wanted to do on my own, just to experience having that expression of my faith in community. And so actually was baptized in a lake at a place, at a summer camp actually that I grew up going to. And Tyler and I were counselors in college. And actually has been a really formative place for me spiritually, with people that have been very, instrumental to my growth in the Lord. And so I had a, outdoor lake baptism, which was really cool. So
I love that.
And I didn't need to be baptized again. Yeah. And I know some denominations believe against that. You don't have to be baptized twice. But it was just for me again, as Matt had talked about, it just was an outward representation of an inward reality in my life that I wanted to commit to do that. So.
So cool. Mm-hmm.
Mine was similar, actually. I also grew up in a Presbyterian church. And so, part of that tradition, and there's really beautiful stuff behind this tradition too, was that you were baptized as an infant. And so that was me. I think there's pictures somewhere of bad 80s perms and all sorts of things going on, and me probably crying as a baby. Because I then didn't become a Christ follower until college, my freshman year. And so it had actually been, I think it was 5 years in between becoming a Christ follower, and I'm someone, I don't like being told what to do, if I'm honest. And so I just felt like, I'm just checking this off of the list. But I remember hearing this talk, it was from Andy Stanley or John Piper or someone like that, about just baptism is out of obedience. And I felt really called. I happened to be serving overseas at that time, but I'm like, when I get back, I need to get baptized at Black Hawk. And so made that decision to be rebaptized now that I was making that decision for myself, and got to do that in a really beautiful way back at Black Hawk in the West Side Auditorium, Pastor Chris Dolson baptizing me, and my wife got baptized at the same time. So for me, it was out of obedience, and it was a cool opportunity to be able to like share that story with some family members and that kind of thing that didn't really know a lot of our story in different ways. And so maybe that's you. I think by the time you're listening to this, maybe you still have time to fill out that baptism commitment form and to do that. But if you are maybe in a similar boat of baptized as an infant and you're kind of on the fence or wondering about that, I say go for it, because it's a really meaningful thing that we get to do to follow in Jesus' footsteps. So what about you, Tiffany?
Yeah, also baptized as an infant. So we are three for three here. Grew up, we in the Catholic Church, my family grew up, my parents grew up Catholic. And so we didn't attend Catholic Church much outside of that, but I was baptized. And then I became a Christ follower in middle school. I was the first one in my family. And so I came to faith in a Southern Baptist church. And so one of the traditions is that you quickly get baptized. Mm-hmm. Like, just it's obedience. So I think it was the next week. Each week, you know, you would sometimes do baptisms in service. And so I just remember it being, I have pictures in my mind. I don't know if it's because I remember it. I mean, I was in sixth grade, or if I just remember the pictures. But because I was the first person in my family who was baptized, I felt like it was a small church. And so it's like, these are the people who are my family of God, you know? And I just remember feeling like, man, they're gonna love me. They're gonna care for me. They're gonna walk with me, and being able to invite my friends and my family and be able to share that with them was really important to me as a sixth grader trying to figure out what does that look like. Yeah. So
I love that.
Yeah,
never too old.
Yeah, never too young. Yeah. It's and sometimes God meets you in it in a way where you feel like, I don't know, does this really matter?
Yeah.
But God shows up, and there's been times, I don't know, for you guys, you sometimes are brought back to your baptism. Mm-hmm. God can use that in later parts of your life to remind you of who you are and what he's done. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be really important.
I love what you said at the end, like being baptized into like, this is my community and these people who are going to love me. And I think that's a significant part of baptism too. Like, yeah, it's an individual thing. And yet throughout church history, like there was often a long process leading up to baptism, but you really were getting baptized like into the life of a church family. And so, you know, you don't have to be baptized. We love you anyway here at Black Hawk, but there is something symbolic in that way too, that like, man, welcome into the family of God and of Black Hawk. And yeah, we want to be there for you and be your church in that way as you do that. So
I'm good. All right, y'all. Well, it has been so good to be able to talk about this passage. Phoebe, I just thank you so much for joining us. And I hope that this first time was okay, this first podcast episode.
Was it everything you expected it to be?
It exceeded my expectations.
Ooh, good.
It was really special. Thank you guys for having me.
Awesome. Well, and if you're interested, you can go on our website and look up more about Black Hawk Bible Study. Love to have you.
And thanks for your ministry, both inside and outside the walls of this church, and for all that you're doing.
Thanks. Thank you guys.
All right. Well, next week, we are going to be, for the last 2 weeks, wrapping up the book of Colossians by talking about something called Rule of Life. So we're excited to be able to share that with you. And so we will see you back here next week.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Next Steps. Don't forget to check out the show notes for a conversation guide if you'd like to keep the conversation going. If you want to learn more about how to get connected at Black Hawk or simply find resources to help you grow, check out blackhawk.church/hub. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend and subscribe so you won't miss future episodes. Until next time, let's keep following Jesus together.